The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Fighting for Progress, for Three Progressive Black Women Running for Congress, Michaela Wilkes, Nina Turner, and Odessa Kelly, challenging the Democratic Party's status quo isn't just politics. It could mean the difference between life and death for their constituents. The coronavirus pandemic brought to light what many Black women already knew. Our communities have endured generations of inequality, and it manifests in every segment of society in the past year. Black Americans acutely felt the pain of a weak societal safety net, governmental neglect, and business interests eager to, quote-unquote, get back to normal, often at the expense of public health. But, quote-unquote, normal isn't the priority for a group of congressional hopefuls with their sights on joining the House of Representatives. Meet three Black women aiming to be the first real change America needs. In 2014, Michaela Wilkes, the executive director of Schools Not Jails, was several months pregnant with her daughter and made repeated trips to the hospital to treat chest pain. The hospital staff dismissed her symptoms, concluding she was having a panic attack. But doctors finally discovered she had blood clots behind both knees. I had health insurance that didn't want to pay for my medicine, even though I was pregnant, she says. To me, it felt like they were just going to let me die. This experience pushed Wilkes to advocate for better health care through Medicare for All, as she campaigns to represent Maryland's 5th Congressional District. For me, making sure that everyone has free public health care is important, she says. In a 2018 audit, the Department of Health and Human Services expressed concern that some insurers, by denying care, may be acting more in their financial interests than in the interests of patients. Wilkes believes this sort of corporate practice could have ended her life. The pandemic has also illustrated the dangers of tying health insurance to employment, as Black women and Latinas have suffered a higher rate of job losses than any other demographic since February 2020, according to a Pew Research Center study. Wilkes stresses that having public health care independent of employment through Medicare for All, for example, could address that gap. When we talk about universal health care, we must discuss medical racism, she adds, suggesting that substandard care led to her initial misdiagnosis. Though the incumbent in her district, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, is a founding member of the Black Maternal Health Caucus, he has not expressed support for Medicare for All, says Wilkes. Pharmaceutical companies and insurance agencies are among his contributors. Wilkes, former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner, and Nashville-based organizer Odessa Kelly all make clear that Black households often endure conditions our predecessors fought with limited success to improve. The pandemic has only increased the urgency for meaningful change. Black Americans have made some symbolic gains in politics and media, but signals of progress are no substitute for implementing policies necessary to achieve it. The key word, quote unquote, Wilkes notes, is progress, which she says includes putting people over profits. If you put profit over people and take special interest money, there's no way you can be progressive. Progress is going full throttle and fighting just as hard for people as those on the right do to maintain the status quo. Nina Turner agrees. Progressism is very much rooted in a liberation doctrine, she says. A candidate in Ohio's August 23rd special election, she is running to fill a seat left vacant by newly appointed HUD Secretary Marsha Fudge. Turner speaks with a pastor's conviction, drawing upon the dictate of a liberation doctrine that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Love your neighbor as yourself, she says. Fight like hell for other people. I want to help create an America and a world as good as its promise. Many residents in Ohio's 11th Congressional District, which spans the majority black neighborhoods between Cleveland and Akron, have yet to see this promise realized. Cleveland is America's poorest big city, according to data analysis by the Cleveland-based think tank, the Center for Community Solutions. The area's poverty, Turner observes, is painfully juxtaposed with a legacy of exorbitant wealth. Economic inequality has only grown more entrenched in the past 40 years, and Turner insists that systemic problems deserve systemic solutions. For her, this demands a progressive platform that, like Wilkes, supports transformative policies, such as instituting Medicare for all and canceling all student loan debt. Black women hold the greatest amount of student loan debt in the country, says Turner. If you want to talk about a racial justice measure that would have immediate positive impact for black women and their communities, canceling student loan debt would achieve that. Two states to the south, Odessa Kelly, is also running on a progressive platform as she sees firsthand how corporate interests impact her neighbors in Tennessee's 5th Congressional District. Corporations have taken over Nashville and the Middle Tennessee area, exacerbating gentrification, especially for black communities, she says. It's so hard for us to get a $15 minimum wage across the country because you have corporate lobbyists and business models that make money off the oppression of someone or some class of people. Unfortunately, it's always black and brown people. Kelly, an HBCU graduate of Tennessee State University, leads the nonprofit Stand Up Nashville. She once worked for the city's parks department, helping to operate a food bank. The majority of people coming into the food bank had on work uniforms, she recalls. When you don't pay employees a living wage, this is the type of need you create. The candidate's appreciation for working class black families undergirds her labor-centric priorities, including her support for Green New Deal union jobs and the PRO Act H.R. 842. The latter, which passed the House in March, protects workers who want to unionize and penalizes companies that violate workers' rights. It's highly important that we build union power, Kelly states, so workers have some autonomy over their lives so they can advocate for themselves and negotiate what a workplace looks like. The next article is titled, Do Cops Make Us Safe? Thought-provoking perspectives on policing in black communities 1 year after Black Lives Matter protests swept the world. In the years since protests over the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor galvanized the world, advocates and elected officials have called for a range of safer and more effective public safety approaches, from abolishing or defunding to retraining the police. Deatra Jackson, Black Youth Project 100 National Director, says, when we seek answers to police violence, there is always a counter. For example, maybe there should be more body cameras. Then it's like, yeah, they don't actually prevent killings from happening. And in a lot of states, it's really difficult to access the camera footage. There's always a hoop to jump through. Such challenges led Jackson to endorse police and prison abolition, which she explains is a process and a practice of getting rid of police and prisons and implementing new solutions to wellness and safety. Concerns about public safety are real for us. Black women are less likely than any other group to feel safe walking home at night, according to a 2020 Gallup poll. But do cops make us any safer? In a Pew Research Center survey published in 2020, most Black respondents felt the police didn't do a good job protecting them from crime. Rachel Gilmore is co-director of the Dream Defenders, an organization that fights to liberate communities of color from over-policing and other social ills. She believes abolition can both meet the community's needs and directly respond to violence through prevention. If we are really concerned about deterring crime, she says, we should focus on the basic social services people need. Congresswoman Karen Bass advocates initiating a change in culture in policing. The former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus and the lead sponsor of the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, JPA, Bass is keenly aware of racial disparities and how cops operate in her district. In South Central Los Angeles, a predominantly Black and brown area, police come in as warriors and view residents as enemy combatants, she notes. Meanwhile, in her California district's majority white, more affluent West Side, police go in to protect, to serve. The JPA calls for extensive officer training, but Jackson doubts that officers can be reformed. In a study on implicit bias awareness training in New York Police Department, for example, researchers found no evidence that officer behavior actually changed. For her part, Chicago Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor promotes defunding a system that hates us and kills us on a consistent basis. Though gun violence in Chicago is notoriously high, the steep cost of policing prompts her to fight to slash the Chicago Police Department budget, which is $1.6 billion more than for community services and infrastructure combined. More police officers doesn't mean less crime. The number of Chicago police officers per capita has grown steadily over the past half century as crime rates have risen and fallen, according to an analysis by Injustice Watch. Despite their varying approaches to police reform, these advocates share the same fundamental concern. If people made a living wage and had access to jobs, good health care, and things that make a great community, you think we'd have this much crime? Taylor asked rhetorically. I don't think so. The next article is titled 10 Things We Are Talking About. Here's the latest news you should know. Number 1, mask off. After more than a year of nationwide restrictions, while the world grappled with a raging pandemic, another new normal is here. As the government pushes to get as many Americans vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus as possible, the CDC issued more lenient guidelines on masks and social distancing in most environments for fully vaccinated Americans. And a host of states and cities followed suit. Number 2, politics with purpose. The 2021 New York City mayoral race has been one for the books. A political showdown that has the entire Big Apple watching. The primary ballot included candidates Maya Wiley and Diane Morales, two powerhouse women of color who each rolled out platforms dedicated to improving the lives of Black and brown around communities. Number 3, Basketball Africa League. Africa's new professional basketball league is officially in session, a joint venture between the National Basketball Association, NBA, and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA. The Basketball Africa League consists of 12 teams total, with one team each from Algeria, Angola, Cameroon, Egypt, Madagascar, Mali, Morocco, Mozambique, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, and Tunisia. 4, festival season is back. This year, we are seeing the return of several music and culture festivals, from Miami's Rolling Loud to Chicago's Lollapalooza to New York City's Governor's Ball to, of course, our very own Essence Festival of Culture, an invigorating mix of virtual, hybrid, and live event experiences are kicking off across the country this season. Number 5, Million Dollar Quarter. Late literacy icon and activist Maya Angelou will be featured on a newly designed quarter as part of the American Women's Quarters program. The historic coin series was established as a result of the Circulating Collectible Coin Redesign Act of 2020, which was introduced by California Congresswoman Barbara Lee. The collection is slated to begin circulation in 2022. 6, Honoring a King. The recently reestablished Howard University College of Fine Arts will be renamed after beloved late actor and playwright Chadwick Boseman. A proud graduate of the prestigious HBCU, Boseman protested against fine arts being merged with the College of Arts and Sciences as a student in the 1990s and advocated for its reinstatement as an alum. Award-winning actress, director, and fellow alum Felicia Rashad becomes dean of the college in July. 7. Ready, set, go. At just 23 years of age, Naomi Osaka is one of the world's most acclaimed tennis champions. For the first time ever, Netflix takes us behind the scenes to look at the triumphs and challenges that have accompanied her whirlwind rise to global fame. Through an intimate new docu-series, Naomi Osaka, streaming starts July 13th. Number 8, No Justice, Some Peace. Posthumous pardons to 34 individuals who were victims of racial lynching in the state between 1854 and 1933, based on false or inflated charges against them. Among those killed was a 13-year-old boy known only as Frederick, whose full name is tragically lost to history, according to Hogan. Number 9, A Great Britain First. Joanne Anderson has secured her spot in the history books as the first black woman to be elected mayor of a major city in England. The British politician and single mother of one who earned more than 59% of the vote in Liverpool's 2021 mayoral race described the victory as the honor of my life. Number 10, Inclusively Reviewed. Ready to binge a new show or check out a new movie, but not sure where to start? There's an inclusive black-owned app for that. Created by entertainment journalist Chris Witherspoon, Pop Viewers aims to help inform film studios, networks, and streaming platforms about the diverse audiences not critics are really watching. The app welcomes everyday film and TV buffs to share video reviews, find ratings, and exchange feedback with other viewers. The next article is titled, Get Out of Your Own Head. Let's talk about imposter syndrome and how to avoid letting it hold you back. Nicole Kane has spent more than 12 years creating successful brands with her gossip blog, NicoleBitchy.com, and her women's lifestyle site, XO Nicole, and most recently with her PMS supplement company, My Happy Flow. She's had the Midas touch. Despite those achievements, she admits that she has struggled to shake the feeling that in all the areas she has entered and excelled in, she doesn't belong. I just felt like an imposter for my entire life, Kane says. I always feel as if I have these big ideas, but I don't think I'm qualified. What Kane has experienced is called imposter syndrome, a phenomenon that has been researched since the 1970s. Studies estimate that 70% of people will deal with the condition in some way during their lifetime. Imposter syndrome is the feeling that you are a fraud, says Kathleen Isaac, PhD, a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice in New York City, and that you are not good enough to be in whatever space you're in. It often comes up in the workplace, but also in school settings. The idea behind it is that someone is going to discover that you are faking it, or that you're not really as good as people might think you are. Isaac notes that even though imposter syndrome can impact one's mental health, it's not classified as a psychological disorder. Instead, mental health professionals see it as an outgrowth of how we are socialized to think of our performance, capabilities, and overall worth. For Kane, who growing up was told by family not to allow success to overinflate her sense of herself, the result has been that she's left feeling fraudulent at times. Although she is now her own boss, consulting with a team as its leader can cause her to second guess her abilities when everyone is looking to her for answers. In addition to her upbringing, Kane reflects that her imposter syndrome may be compounded by the fact that she never graduated college. I think we bring that history into our professional career, she says. But there is a difference between occasionally questioning your capacities or your luck and having imposter syndrome. We all second guess ourselves, says Jay Monroe, New York City-based Slay coach and creator of Slay League, which helps women build confidence by overcoming imposter syndrome, adds Monroe. When doubt keeps you stuck in fear, causes you to procrastinate or become a perfectionist, and leaves you plunged in a negative self-image, it may be time to seek help. Monroe started the Slay League in 2020 during the pandemic, when imposter syndrome was trending heavily. As more than 20 million workers lost their jobs, people who were still employed found themselves overworking out of the fear that they too would lose their livelihood. Many of them feared that they were ill-equipped to find another job during a time of economic crisis. After noticing so many amazing and talented women doubting themselves and seeing them self-sabotage their way out of joy and opportunities, I set out to help 100 women overcome imposter syndrome, says Monroe. In 6 days, I surpassed that goal with 170 women signing up. And in 2 weeks, that number almost doubled. There were some 300 women who were like, yes, I experienced this. I suffer from this. I need your help. Isaac cautions that it's important to recognize that feeling as if you don't belong professionally or academically can come from the way others treat you. A lot of people of color experience imposter syndrome, she says, but we can't ignore the fact that they are also dealing with actual experiences of being made to feel as if they are not good enough. She points to racial microaggressions people of color are forced to confront, such as hearing subtle and not so subtle negative comments directed your way, or being the only person in a space who looks like you. People will say, oh, I have imposter syndrome, when actually it's like, no, you're being made to feel that way. What you're feeling is just a natural response to how you're being treated or how systems of oppression have made us feel as if we don't belong. But imposter syndrome is still very real. And Monroe argues that must be dealt with if we are simply to live in peace. If the feeling is not addressed, it can be extremely detrimental, not only to your confidence and your self-worth, but also to your mental, emotional, and even your physical health, she says. Imposter syndrome can affect your thoughts, your motivation, your emotions, your behaviors, your actions, and your overall well-being. Addressing self-doubt requires making an effort to change the way you think of yourself. It helps to find a mentor or a group of people who will support and validate you. Affirmation can lead to empowerment, which can help motivate you to approach personal and leadership situations with greater confidence in your abilities. If the anxiety of imposter syndrome becomes too much despite such supports, however, a therapist can help you explore other ways to cope. Kane offers another strategy. These days, she keeps a praise folder on her computer full of her compliments and approval she's received over the years. It helps her to combat negative thoughts and inspires her to keep taking up space in the rooms and industries where she deserves to be. On your worst days, a praise folder can remind you of why you do what you do and that you belong exactly where you are, she says. Keep reminding yourself of your accomplishments. Sometimes I look back at my life and I'm like, girl, you had a less than 1% chance of being successful and you've done it. You've done it again, and you're about to do it again. The next article is titled Live Loud, a virtual experience celebrating power and accomplishments of our community. Can't miss content including powerful daytime interactive sessions from trailblazing leaders and star-studded evening concerts to back-to-back weekends of thoughtfully curated panels, workshops, demos, and activities just for us to uplift and support living out loud. Beauty Carnival, Boundless Beauty. 2020 forced us to look at everything differently, including how we care for and express our beauty. In 2021, we are redefining beauty trends and getting bolder with our looks. Enjoy presentations from industry insiders and top brands on makeup, skin, body, and hair care that provide a fresh perspective on caring for and embracing the hair and skin you're in. Wellness House, from the inside out, a multifaceted collective of self-care resources for you. Through our curated sessions, you will walk away equipped with the resources to prioritize your nutrition, spirit, relationships, and more. From unlearning generational toxic habits to how to care for your body from the inside out. After dark, after the party, it's the after party. Get your Friday nights right with music sets at the ultimate online kickback. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.